Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked on the phone while he drove. We had somebody drive him, he and his wife from Cleveland. And so we were able to send him the information to study. Talked to him on the phone as he drove down, gave him a break, let him then come in the facility, and we got a chance to meet last night and then met this morning.
It's about a five-hour drive. How long was the phone call?
I'm not sure how long it was. We just tried to cover all the base pieces of information. I mean, you like to knock out personnel and formations and motions and the easy stuff, and then when you get in here, get the nuts and bolts. So just the easy stuff that he knew, and it all sounds familiar, so he'll be ready to roll.
Hey, Joe, how's the it's Zach with the Bengals. You ready? You're a Bengal. Okay, cool. How's the offensive line? Bad. Okay, cool.
Zach Taylor there, Bengals head coach, talking about the weird gettings, too, of they're going to trade for a guy immediately and get him starting right away. Joe Flacco is going to get the start against Green Bay. We'll have the fun potential at beating the same team twice in a year on different teams. That should be pretty cool.
That would be uncanny.
I don't think it'll happen. I mean, I stay with this. I think why this has happened is, and why they didn't reach out to someone like Jameis Winston, is they couldn't keep convincing themselves of sending out a quarterback to throw 2 to 3 picks every game and not really have the offense moving and just, yeah, we're still trying to win, guys.
Have they not watched Joe Flacco this year?
Well, that's the thing is Flacco, I think, maybe points to at least he doesn't have that history, and he has a history of showing up randomly and performing well. The difference is, though, he's many years older. Can't really move. The offensive line is really bad. I think this is also just a team that your starter's down, but you started the year 2-0, and it's still somewhat early in the season, and you want to try to not immediately go, well, screw that, we're done.
You cannot also convince the fan base that Jake Browning is going to get through this at this point. He played himself out of the job.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, I think that's why they made the move. I think they would have loved to have just kept Jake Browning in and ride this out. But when he was throwing 2 to 3 picks every game he was starting, it just it became untenable. You can't keep throwing him out there. Because then eventually, we're all just going to expect the coach to be like, you know what, guys, honestly, we're all watching Caleb Downs tape, okay? Y'all know we need help on defense. We're looking at the best safety. Congratulations, everyone. Joe will be back next year.
They'd be outraged at the fact that he's not saying an offensive lineman there, Zach.
Probably true.
So there's that.
But even then, they can't do it. I kind of like the idea that a guy got traded for and is immediately starting. We'll see how this goes. It doesn't happen often. The one I think about regularly is Baker and him sort of saving his career
right
with the Rams. I mean, he had, what, like 3 days to figure? Because I think he was on a short week.
It was a short week,
They played Thursday Night Football, and he's traded there like Tuesday. And it was like, okay, you got to figure it out. And this isn't a five-hour car drive where he stays in the same state. This is going from Carolina to the Rams.
He's not even traded for it. Baker had asked for his release.
That's right, and he's picked up by the Rams. That's right.
Yes.
But he goes in and he plays against the Raiders. It's a 17-16 win. He was 22 for 35, 230, and a touchdown. And he plays pretty well for the Rams the rest of the year. He throws 2 total picks. He throws 5 touchdowns. But it's good enough for him to salvage career. Now Baker, I think, is undoubtedly a top 10 quarterback in the league since he's arrived in Tampa. That's not going to happen with Flacco. Right. I think this is just more – I think this is just PR of, no, we're not giving up on the season. We know we needed to make a change at quarterback. They can't afford Kirk Cousins because of his massive contract that Atlanta signed him to. So they're not going to do that. Well, let's go for the team that just benched their guy to start a rookie. I mean, ultimately, I think that's kind of what it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. I'm sort of curious to keep an eye on it just to see, is he actually getting Chase and Higgins the ball? Like, are they actually able to move the offense? Maybe. We're going to find out. We do have a game tonight to get Week 6 underway, Thursday Night Football, Eagles-Giants. Eagles-Bills, both 4-1s, actually a few 4-1 teams, but those were the two that lost to stop the undefeated run. And it's funny. They were both undefeated with both pretty glaring problems. The one difference is the Bills' problem, you could arguably point to with its injuries, their defense. They do not have their full complement of guys, and it's going to be a while till they have their full complement of guys. They're just surviving. The Eagles is not the same issue at all. Their defense is just fine. arguably fact, winning them games.
Yeah, matter of fact, they're fantastic.
Their offense is the problem. The different issue there is their offensive skill position players are all there. They're dealing with some injuries on the line. Don't get me wrong. Lane Johnson's had some of his issues that he's been dealing with. They've had some other ones as well. But for the most part, the guys you expect to make big plays are there. And it hasn't meant anything. They have been a struggle to watch. They're in the bottom five, bottom 10 of most offensive statistical categories, namely running the ball. Saquon's going from like 6 yards per rush to, I think he's down to like 3.2, 3.3 yards per rush. A.J. Brown, I think he's gotten through 30 yards this year, I think now twice, based off this last game against Denver. And we were 5 weeks into the season, 4 weeks into the season, because that was before the Denver game. And we were already getting pieces from The Athletic. Diana Rossini talking about how both receivers, Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown, were upset in their roles and what was going on in the offense. They look like a broken unit. This has always, though, been a very volatile organization under Nick Sirianni. They will have years where they look like the cream of the crop. They look like the Avengers out there. They will have other years where they start 11-1 and lose 6 straight to end the year, or 5 straight, whatever it was, and then lose to Tampa in a wild card round. Then last year, they pretty much dominated after, I think, starting, what, 2-2 or something like that last year? They then just go on an insane run, and outside of the Rams game, dominating the playoffs.
And the part of it is also, when it comes to Brown, it is also a Jalen Hurts problem.
Oh, yeah.
The targets to receptions, that percentage is ghastly. It's almost at 50. It's just above 50%. 36 targets for A.J. Brown. 19 receptions. But the other thing that you're seeing happen here is against Denver, they start just taking deep shots left and right. And in the too high era, it's not going to have such a large completion percentage. The times where Denver was running cover three, Riley Moss is on Devonta Smith.
And he's just getting
it didn't
down
work now. For him. But the thing is that there's no creativity within the run game either. And then the Denver game was also an overcorrection. You hear that the wide receivers are upset. So they throw the ball, and Saquon Barkley gets the ball 6 times that game.
Mm-hmm.
He has his best yards per carry on the afternoon.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With 30 yards on 6 carries. Now's the day you're not going to feed him the rock?
When everything's telling you, like, that's actually working. That's
it's actually working a little bit right now. Now you're not going to give him the football? This offensive coordinator has never called plays before at any level, and it's showing glaringly here this year. And it's the lack of creativity within the run game, the run-blocking schemes. Like, something is off about it to where their fundamental reason for offensive success is not there. If not for the defense looking like it did in the Super Bowl against Kansas City, they would be in a lot of trouble right now.
And you can even look to them, too. They took advantage of that weird week where everyone was blocking kicks. I mean, the Rams score looks very different than how that game actually was. It ends 33-26. It's because it's a return for a touchdown on that block kick to end the game. Tampa, they're up really big early, and then Tampa roars back. It's a Baker Mayfield pick that kind of ends that. And then, you know, they have not looked right all year. This is sort of the same thing we've been saying about the Bills. I will continue to say this, though. I'd rather my team play their best football in January rather than in September. I do still stand by that. I do look at some things, though, and wonder, is it ever going to get better? We've talked about it yesterday, that the stuff you can hide versus the stuff you're going to have to live with. And if the Bills don't make a move in the secondary, I've mentioned it, I think it's just going to be something they have to live with. Where the Bills' offense, I think they can hide the fact that their receivers can't really stretch the field. They don't have a ton of speed. I think they can live with that.
They can live with it.
The run game is very good. Their tight ends seem to be really taking that next step, namely Dalton Kincaid. And even then, the separation scores are pretty good. They're able to move the ball. They score a lot. The Eagles, you can't hide from a bad coordinator. Not when your head coach is Nick Sirianni. And no disrespect to him, he lives off of great coordinators. And they're going to get to a point where it is just – you have too much skill. This is where they become volatile, is because guys are getting frustrated that how is this not working? And while I think Sirianni has proven to be a very good culture guy, he kind of fits the city of Philadelphia perfectly, you cannot hide a bad coordinator. It's where, you know, we were wondering too, the next few weeks, once the Bills are starting to get their complement back on defense, okay, what is Bobby Babich? You know Joe Brady's a good coordinator. I know some get frustrated with him, but you know he's a good coordinator. We don't know yet about Bobby Babich. And we're kind of finding out with Philadelphia, they're having an issue here. And I don't really know how it's going to get fixed. They have everyone there. It's not like, well, A.J. Brown's not here, he'll fix the passing game. They're all there.
They're all there. And it might be a good remedy for this team that just lost their first game to have the Giants twice in 3 weeks.
And they are 7.5-point favorites tonight against the Giants.
On the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Thursday Night Football. The fact that you throw Thursday Night Football into this, though, with the short week and how teams typically have a tendency to underperform on Thursday nights, especially the ones that are favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared this game might be like 13-9.
Giddy up. That's where
No. Not giddy up.
How much of this game am I really going to watch? Honestly.
Go Sabres.
I have the Sabres going on tonight. I'm very excited to watch that. We've got playoff baseball that's going on kind of in the middle of this. If this game starts ugly early and the fact that it's going to be on a streaming service and I can't just, you know, flip through the channels
real
quick.
That's right, yeah.
I'm not going to find this game. I'll watch the highlights tomorrow. I'll look through on Twitter to see what's going on. Like, mm-hmm. The way the Eagles have been playing, and while I'm a big Jackson Dark guy, but Malik Nabers ain't playing, I wonder how much the Giants are going to be able to score. Yeah, if it's ugly early, I'll back off. I'm good. By the way, the Eagles.
Back off. I'm good.
By the way, the Eagles offense coordinator, Kevin Petullo, he's been with the organization since 21. And that's also something we can get into that maybe towards the offseason. But I have started to really move away from hiring inside. I think for a lot of organizations, it becomes an echo chamber.
Right.
And you're not adding new ideas, new functions to your team. You're just kind of continuing the process. And while sometimes that absolutely works, Brady is ultimately the internal hire.
Yeah.
Other times it doesn't work. Look at the exact same position. Ken Dorsey's an internal hire. Was a bit of a disaster for them.
It's also weird because coaching is a brotherhood, but it – like you gather a lot of connections working in coaching.
Oh, yeah.
And there could be a guy that you worked with years ago and all of a sudden like, hey, there's this spot that opened up. I remember working with this guy. Let's bring him in.
Yeah, we should give him a call.
We should give him a call and see if he's available for this. So it is kind of fascinating that now it's just all being internalized, which is kind of uncommon.
I don't think
it's not uncommon. It's just
– it's not always the wrong thing
to do. It
goes
against the grain a little
bit. Yeah, but you're seeing it in Baltimore too. Zach Orr. They brought – he's an internal hire and a defense coordinator. It's been a bad time. I think there is something to bringing in kind of like a fresh face and new ideas, different ideas that can get a team over the hump or push that to that next level. 803-0550, the number to call. A reminder, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It only takes 30 minutes once a year to get a potential life-saving screening. Schedule your mammogram today at Roswell Park with two convenient locations in Buffalo and Williamsville. Visit roswellpark.org/mammograph for a quick appointment. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. Sabres Live coming up at noon. This is WGR.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.